may not answer your call because he really is busy all the time, but he will always, and in fact, I tried calling him earlier today about requests and everything, and he texted me right back, said, hey, I'm on another call, just shoot me text, and we'll set it up through that. And so, yeah, he is. He's a remarkable person, and he's very, very honored, and he's very thankful for the people that, so to speak, shown him love over the years, you know, and judged him on his character and not listening to all the negative stuff about him. He remembers those people too that have said all those bad things about him. Oh, he remembers. Yep.
Matt, there's only been three losses by this McNeese, yeah, the Bayou Bandits this year, as you guys call them, and that's pretty phenomenal. Yeah. And I happened to see one of them. I saw him play Louisiana Tech, and quite frankly, yeah, yeah, McNeese was in that thing all the way without Will Wade on the sidelines, as you know.
Right.
So a lot of this record was even, I think it was game 11, right, before he started coaching. And you think about, okay, well, this is a 30-3 team and 17-1 in the conference, and they knocked off the opener. We should have seen this coming. They knocked off Virginia Commonwealth in the opener. They beat UAB. They played Southern Miss, ULL. But when it got my attention and when it got serious for me is when I saw McNeese 87, Michigan 76.
Probably wasn't even that close.
Yeah, yeah, that got my attention.
Yeah.
And I think it got the country's attention.
I think so, too. And it doesn't, to me, and I've heard a lot of people that have been here this week, some national people have been here this week for the tournament, and they say, you know, sure, Michigan had a down year this year, but you still got to remember who you're playing. And for a team like McNeese is not supposed to go into a place like Michigan and completely dominate that game. And that we did. We really did. The game wasn't as close as 11 points showed. The VCU game was huge. That was a huge win on the road. And they starting a new coach as well. So, but to go and beat a Big Ten team, one of the blue bloods, I guess you could say, and to beat them in their place the way we beat them, that's when I really said, okay, we got something special here, you know. And and I remember Coach Wade, I was right there sitting next to, on the bench at this press row right next to the bench, and there's a point in the game where it was early in the second half, and we just went up even bigger than the 11 points, and he kind of looked at me, gave me a little wink, and he kind of a little nod, is like, yeah, and he said, we're good. Yeah, so yeah, to get the 30 wins, it doesn't matter who's on your schedule, 30 wins in a you know, playing 33 games so far, that's pretty unheard of. It's only happened twice in the history of the Southland Conference, including, you know, postseason games. You know, Stephen F. Austin had that magical run in 2014. They won 32 games and, you know, lost on, I think, the last second shot to make it to the Sweet 16. And then our 30 wins. We're the only two teams to ever post 30 wins in from any Southland Conference team in the history of the league. So it's hard to get to. And you know, Will's never had a team everywhere he's been. He's had a 28 or 29 win team at VCU, but as far as, you know, this is his first time to ever win 30 games in a season, and he is very, very, he spoke the truth when he said, if we can win the championship in the tournament, it'll be the greatest accomplishment in his entire career. And he reiterated that last night after the win, and, you know, I truly believe that, and you could see it. The emotions he had, and it, not just for him. I mean, he really does love this community, and he really wanted for it to be done for this community as well.
I've been talking about it all week, Matt. The difference is in Lake Charles. And listen, I think as far as the actual event and the folks of Lake Charles, they do a great job of putting on the LHSAA State Championship. But I'll be frank, and I am not a fan of Burton Coliseum. However, I think the Legacy Center, I mean, it is awesome. I had an opportunity to see that. I know it's can be used for multi-purposes, but to me, that is what a basketball venue in our state should be like. I'm not fans of the round, quote, multi-purpose facilities like the PMAC, the TAC, Fant Ewing.
Yeah.
I think the Legacy Center is perfect. And what has that done for this program, having that building?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's I knew we had a great building, and it was wonderful on the inside and a great place to watch basketball. I didn't understand how great this building was, really, until Will got here, and he walked through, and he told our AD, he said, you lied to me about this building. And he's like, what are you talking about? He said, this place is a whole lot better than what you explained it to me, because Will had never seen it until he got here for his introductory press conference. And, when he's telling me things about this building is better than the PMAC and stuff, and all the accessories we have with the training room and the weight room and all that kind of stuff, it really is the best arena in the state. And to have that and to be able to recruit to that, it's done wonders. We finally getting the crowds in here, and we're seeing what an actual college basketball atmosphere is supposed to be like. And, we've had 10 sellouts on the year, out of 19 home games, counting the tournaments. And so, that's never been done before. And to have 4,200 people in here packed in, it really does make a difference. Whereas, in a place like if we had 4,200 people in Burton Coliseum, well, it wouldn't have that same kind of feeling that it would have as you're in the Legacy Center. But I think you're starting to see programs doing that. You look at Baylor, they downsized their arena. Alabama's going to downsize their arena. There are just too many seats out there that I guess it's kind of getting like college football where you're not filling up the stadiums anymore, so you may as well downsize so you can go ahead and have it packed in there and everything. So, yeah, it's been tremendous, though.
Last one for you. We'll let you get out of here, and I know it's been a busy time for everybody. But part of this, I talked about have you come back down from Cloud 9, but you have added another role this year and helped add to that atmosphere. And I love the fact that you and Will and everybody associated with that program, you're all hands, all feet in, whatever you got to do to get people excited. You've embraced the Willie, the kids, the Bayou Bandits, the American Gangsters.
Yeah.
You've kind of become the official hype man at the arena now.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to be me. And the person we had lined up to do it, he probably about an hour and a half before the game, the first game we were going to do it, he just, I don't know if he got cold feet or what, and I said, look, just give me the mic, I'll do it. I know what we want to do and everything. And so I went out there in my, what I wear for a game, regular, polo, slack and all that, and I put a cowboy hat on. So then the next night, I wore my jacket I got for Mardi Gras, a little, flashy thing and everything. So, but then after that, I had a buddy of mine who owns Mr. Bill's Seafood Express. He said, hey, look, I've got a cowboy overcoat, leather overcoat. And so went to that and then went to putting the mask on. And from there, just kind of, that's what it ended up turning into. So,
it's worked out perfectly.
It's been fun, and it's been funny because everybody, what are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to say until I grab the mic, It's just get up, come on. But, it is. It's fun. It's part of it, and I think it adds to it a little bit. I like to think it does anyway. But, this season has been just unlike any other I've ever been a part of, and, knocking on wood, we can keep it going, be the darlings of the dance, that's for sure.
Well, listen, it started as kind of a local Lake Charles story, and then it became a Louisiana story, and now it's become a national story. And I'm certainly rooting for you guys to have your tremendous success. Just do me this favor, if we can work this out, if for some reason you guys, and hopefully play on Thursday, and you win, we got to try to fit Will in next Friday on the show if we can work that out. But first things first, y'all got to go take care of business.
Okay. You got it, man. We'll see what we can do. Absolutely. Thank you all for everything you do.
Congratulations, buddy. All right. Continued success.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
This has been The Sports Company with Sean Fox, presented by Bud Light. Come back every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. for more Sports Company. on Sports Talk 977. Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 97.7 is also brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Dairy Queen. Text us at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Of course, you can get us on the Rejuve-Me hotline.
Looks like I'm riding in the sidecar
you
tonight,
are.
BC.
Beck Haynes out on a work trip, didn't quite make it back into town.
What, turkey season?
Probably. The old March turkey season. Who knows with that guy, but Beck's out. He didn't quite get back in town for a work trip, so it'll be me and Tabes for the next 90 minutes, of course, a Thursday night. It's kind of become the norm here lately. But like I said, we appreciate you joining us. You can get us on the Rejuve-Me hotline or text line. That number is 888-993-7762.
I don't mind the Thursday nights if we can come in here and talk about bombs from Safford.
Woo! Tapes.
When they needed it.
That was a big hit.
Huge.
That was a big hit for the Dogs last night.
That was a good ball club they beat last night.
Yeah, I was
tournament team last year.
Yeah, I was particularly impressed. You know, you don't know what some of these teams like a Nichols and Northwestern,
especially in the midweek,
looks like in the midweek. And I thought that the starter, he obviously only lasted what, 6 or 7 hitters, I believe.
The guys they brought in behind him,
but
like
I thought
their
relievers. Yeah, I thought they were good. They had strikeout stuff, but it was Louisiana Tech needed that win. Like,
yes.
You played like you played on Tuesday night against LSU. You fell 11-1.
Okay, wash it away. Well, this is how you wash it away.
And it's like we've talked about. You, at some point, you got to start winning a 5-3, 6-4, 7-5 type game. And Louisiana Tech got the pitching. They got timely hitting. Ethan Bates had a big double in that game. Of course, Dalton Davis drove in a couple runs. Will Safford comes in off the bench in the ninth, hits the 2-run homer. Adarius Myers has 4 hits. I think 3 came of the infield variety. Might be the softest
just
4
His hustle on the base pads won the ball game last night.
Hey, who beat that ball out before the 2-run homer?
That'd be AD.
Exactly. So, big win for Louisiana Tech. Tech softball, Bulldog softball.
Huge.
With a huge win over UL Lafayette last night.
Maybe the biggest regular season win in the Bleed Tech Blue era?
I would say so.
Now, I'll still give preference to postseason. But
yes. First time that Louisiana Tech has defeated the Cajuns on the softball diamond since April 25th, 1998.
Since Tabor's first trip at Tech.
Yeah, BC was 6 back then. Hadn't even turned 7 yet. 31-game losing streak that Josh Taylor and his squad put to bed. Lana Rogers had a big 3-run home run in that third inning to tie the game. Later in the game, Tech scored on an error after Claire Raley scored on an error. And then finally, Rogers added an RBI single in the bottom of the fourth, ultimately gets us to our final score of 5-3. We'll be joined tonight by Louisiana Tech softball player Caroline Easel.
Yeah.
She'll join us at 7 p.m. Excited to showcase Josh Taylor's squad. Now, 20-5 overall. RPI is in the top 40. You're 5-1 in conference play. We mentioned the big win last night over UL.
We've got another first place 5-1 conference opponent coming in this weekend.
Western Kentucky.
So,
a lot going well for the Tech softball program. So excited to talk with Caroline Easom, second baseman out of Bossier City, Louisiana. Played her high school softball at Airline. She's hitting 382 here early on in the year. But I wanted to start here. It's March Madness. Sure, you've been watching games throughout the day.
Yeah.
What else would you
do?
My question for you, Taves.
Okay.
Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament. Best sports days of the year?
Absolutely.
Nothing else even in the discussion?
Nope.
All right. Fair enough. I posed the question on Bleed Tech Blue. I said, what are the best days of the sports year for you? Some of the feedback that I've got. First Friday night, high school football regular season.
I like it. I dig that.
Quarterfinal Friday of high school football after Thanksgiving.
I dig that, and I think you can even go with basketball or baseball as well.
Okay.
Well, maybe not baseball as much with some of the series.
Yeah.
But basketball and football, you got that single game.
Yep. We got opening weekend of college baseball season.
Okay.
It's definitely – that is a sport we've talked about a lot. It's grown tremendously.
Within our audience, that's probably a strong nominee.
And, of course, we'd love to hear from you on the Rejuvenate text line, 888-993-7762. We got first Thursday of March Madness. We got NFL Wild Card Weekend. That's become – let me say this. I'm a college football fan first and foremost when it comes to football, but I love the NFL. But for me, my love for the NFL is probably rooted in
fans. I don't know if it was last year – or the year before, the first year they did the Super Wild Card Weekend.
Was pretty special.
And they didn't have a Monday game. They went
3-3
on Saturday and Sunday. That was, to me, pinnacle NFL playoff football. Because before then, I was always a big divisional round guy.
Yeah.
You got the doubleheader on Saturday and the doubleheader on Sunday for, you know, and is a big chunk of the marbles.
Yes.
It was perfectly formatted to fit into your afternoon and evening. And the triple header was, okay, great. I can, instead of starting it at my day at 3, I started at noon. Even better. The Monday night kind of,
I'm not a big fan of Monday.
Not crazy of it.
Feels either. Like the weekend's over. This is playoff football.
I'm
over Monday night football.
As good as that weekend is, it still doesn't compare to Thursday and Friday in my
March
opinion.
Madness.
For me personally.
How about MLB opening day? I think it should be a national holiday myself.
I do, and I think we should still start the season on the afternoon game in Cincinnati.
Old school guy.
I know. Call me Mark Kramer. I saw it in your eyes. You wanted to.
Maybe.
But. I think Mark would probably agree with me on that.
For me, our audience knows, I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan.
Both of us.
Yeah, we both are. Opening day is pretty special.
Yeah.
Like, it could be snowing in 32 in Wrigley.
What did you think of the two games in Seoul?
So I watched a portion of both.
I watched a portion of yesterday.
They had good crowds, obviously. I don't love listening to Carl Ravitch call baseball games.
Not even so much that, the production of it, just the having
there.
It. Basically, they're trying to give us two opening days. And I understand why you're trying to reach the Asian market. Makes sense financially.
I don't love it.
I just wonder if you could, and I think Dan Patrick kind of hit on it quite a bit yesterday. Could you have done all this with a couple of spring training games?
And you probably could have got the same thing out of it.
Yeah.
Well, and two, but when you talk MLB, that's their issue.
Well, the issue is, the guys aren't going to play as hard.
Who cares?
They don't care. They want autographs and pictures and just see to be seen.
But, Tapes, for me, that's MLB. They don't understand the marketing game. That's why they're awful at marketing their best player. Shohei Ohtani markets himself pretty much. You know what I'm saying? And, we could get into...
Oh, boy, I don't know if this is the show for that whole...
But that's a dicey situation.
That side. Exit,
it's very interesting. All right, some other days. Best sporting days of the year. Sunday at the Masters. Are you a golf guy?
Yeah.
Now, here's my thing on the Masters. Masters.
Man, that coming down that back line.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. 4:30 on Sunday, I'm locked
in. I'm all in, absolutely.
Yeah. NFL Wild Card, New Year's Day. I think New Year's Day's kind of lost some of its luster in college football.
Yeah, I was just...
And I don't like it.
I'll still like it, but now because the other games are spread out and frankly, I'm more adept in it. Let me just sleep in. Well,
and I'm only 32 years old, but, like, for some reason, I was so drawn into, like, Rose Bowl New Year's Day. Like, for me, like, that was it. Like, but now it's like, Rose Bowl's on December 30th. We're going to play the Sugar Bowl. I like the Sugar Bowl, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of, I'm a traditionalist in that fact.
I just, I kind of remember you had the Rose Bowl in the afternoon. Cotton Bowl was usually in the afternoon.
Little Outback Bowl.
And I think usually
Gator Bowl.
Usually got the Fiesta Bowl was kind of the bridge game that mid afternoon, early evening. And then late, you got the Sugar Bowl and the Orange Bowl.
Yep. We got any day of the College World Series.
Okay.
It's not there for me yet, but I can see it. We got when winter rules end on the golf course, you can drive the fairways. All right, fair enough. We got Texas High School Football State Championships at Jerry's World. It's a great day of football. It's a little bit on a – it's not a small scale, but a smaller scale. Something
just going down to the dome in Louisiana, same
type of deal.
Yeah, state championship weekend.
You'll love this one.
Cool.
WWE WrestleMania weekend.
Right on. And it's become a whole weekend now.
It has. It certainly has. And then one that says opening weekend of the now UFL. I can't get into it.
I just can't. I tried, and I think I watched 3 minutes of one game last season for either one of the leagues.
Yep. I'm with you. We got opening day of college football season. That's always a big one.
What's opening day now, though?
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it week zero? Is it week one? Is it Thursday night? Like, I think, and we had Josh Pate on the sports company.
At least NFL's got their opening night hammered down.
Yeah, and they nail it.
More times than
not.
It's
an event.
Until it's in London in 3 years.
It's an event. We got one text that says, last Sunday in May, you got the MLB in full swing, college baseball conference championship games. You got the Monaco Grand Prix. You got the Indianapolis 500 and the Coke 600 in NASCAR. Oh,
and
today.
You're knee-deep in NBA playoffs.
That's a very good point as well. Unnamed texter on the RejuvaMe text line. Of course, you can get us 888-993-7762. Chimes in and says, Carl Ravitch is close to being Joey Galloway in terms of annoying commentary. Joey is still the king, though. We've had this discussion before about commentators, broadcasters that we don't necessarily fall in love for, and fall in love with. For me, I don't know why. It must have been something Sean and them were discussing the other day. I thought of Joey Galloway, and Joey Galloway is, for me, he's that company man that says everything that everyone is thinking. But everyone gives it.
You're right, Bob.
Yeah, that everyone gives a twist to make it sound better, but he doesn't do anything to ramp up the entertainment aspect of it. Like, that's Joey Galloway. Nothing wrong with it, but he's boring.
I'm more of a Dez guy myself.
Yeah. Big fan of the old former Heisman Trophy winner. So, that's kind of where we want to start off the show. Obviously, March Madness in full swing. Hope your bracket's still intact. BC pulled a Taves and said, oh, I'm a big believer in the SEC. I'm taking Mississippi State in this early game. They laid an egg. South Carolina laid an egg.
Yeah, they burnt me bad.
But it's been a great day of college
Elite
basketball.
Eight
yeah, Elite Eight bad. I guess coming up in the state tonight, starting up in, I believe, about 30 minutes or so, McNeese will wait to take his team to play the fifth seed Gonzaga. That's got a chance to be a really good game on the opening night of the NCAA tournament. Got Colorado State, a Louisiana Tech opponent, currently battling with Texas. That's a 12-8 game. That's the score, 12-8, with 8 minutes to go in the first half. So a little bit of a defensive battle between these two teams. So we'll keep tabs on March Madness throughout the evening. Like I said, we got a lot to get into with Louisiana Tech softball, Louisiana Tech baseball. We got Caroline Easom, second baseman for the Tech softball team, coming up at 7 o'clock. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the transfer portal for the Dunkin' Dogs and Lady Texters. Got a couple of Dunkin' Dogs in it. We got 6 Lady Texters in it. What are some of the off-season goals for both Talvin Hester and Brooke Storr? You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7. Be back right after this.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
As summer comes to a close, you may have a kid heading off to school. That's a great reason for a complete car checkup from Walpole Tire and Service. They'll diagnose check engine lights and service everything from brakes to shocks and suspensions. And if that car needs tires, you'll find big rebates on the largest selection of name brand tires, including Goodyear, Bridgestone, Firestone, Continental, and more. Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Every day is game day at the dugout in Ruston. Warm up with our bases loaded nachos and fried pickles. Make the call to the bullpen for that home run chili cheeseburger combo. And our chicken wings and chicken strips, well, they'll make you feel like an all-star. And you have to try our new Texas tacos. Plus, the dugout has the best frozen daiquiris in town. That's the dugout, 2008 Champions Way in Ruston at the Ruston Sports Complex.
At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement therapy. Let us be your age-defying clinic.
You've heard about it? We've got it. Semaglutide. RejuvameMedical.com.
At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement and weight loss therapy. It's time to begin your journey to a better you. Rejuvame Medical, now open in Monroe. RejuvameMedical.com.
Want to find stuff out about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Appreciate you joining us on this Thursday night. Of course, you can get us on the Rejuvenate Hotline or text on 888-993-7762. So the transfer portal's open, in case you haven't noticed. Opened up on Monday in college basketball. Yes, it makes no sense that we still got the NCAA tournament really just getting started. But names are flying all over the place, and we got a few names to mention, both on the men and women's side at Louisiana Tech. We'll start with the women. Of course, Brooke Storr just wrapped up her eighth season at Louisiana Tech with a 14-19 record here in 2023-2024. Brooke is now 134-111 during her eight-year tenure in Ruston with four women's NIT appearances. So this was the second losing season. Obviously, the worst season of her tenure, but she's expected to be back for 2024-2025. Who does Brooke Storr have in the transfer portal thus far? Six names to this point. I want to thank Talia Goodman. Tabes, are you familiar with the Goodman name?
No.
Jeff Goodman.
Oh.
His daughter. He's getting her in the game.
Okay.
She's a student at Indiana, so she's kind of doing things on the women's basketball front, and so she keeps up with the transfer portal list, and the names for Louisiana Tech that are in the transfer portal this far: guard forward Sylvia Nativi, forward Amaya Brannon, guard Paris Guillory, all freshman team for the Lady Texters this past season. Amaya, I already mentioned Amaya Brannon. Let's see here, Ayan Angwa, forward. You also got Anya Bukovic, a guard, sophomore guard. And then finally, the last name is forward center Mackenzie Worm. So, six players off of Brooke's squad that is currently in the transfer portal. You look at the seniors that she's losing off this past year's team. Of course, Anna Laura Robertson, all-conference performer this past season. Salma Bates, tremendous performer. And then I believe Kate Thompson, a forward, also went through the senior day festivities as well. So you look at it kind of on the surface, I think it's pretty evident that Brooke's going to have a lot of work to do here in the offseason as far as rebuilding this roster. And you look at the record, 14-19 overall, a season didn't necessarily go as expected for anyone. So some will say, hey, not the worst thing in the world. But obviously, Nativi started all 33 games this past season. Amaya Brandon was a key piece as well, scoring 16 points a game. Bukovic kind of emerged as a sophomore. She played 15 minutes a game. Worm was a reserve center. Angua was a reserve forward who only appeared in 16 games. I think the probably perhaps your biggest loss is Paris Guillory, freshman out of Lake Charles, dealt with some knee issues early in the year, but really came on late, shot 39% from three-point range. So I think all in all, when you look at Lady Texter basketball and you talk about the ones that have been around the program for 40, 50 years, it's like we want to get back to the Lady Texters of all. I don't know if you're getting there in this era. I think that as a Tech fan or as a Lady Texter fan, the goal has to be to get back to competing for conference championships year in and year out, be a top four type of team every year, have a chance to go to Huntsville or the Star or wherever the conference tournament's held, compete with a team like Middle Tennessee State, who's kind of become the team to beat within the league the past few years. And, you know, like I said, compete for a conference championship. You look at the needs for this roster in the offseason, I think you could probably point to really any position that you want to point to outside of point guard. As long as Gianna Morris returns, she played 32 minutes a game as a freshman point guard, you're probably pretty much set at that position, but certainly have some holes to fill. On the men's side of things, of course, Talvin Hester just wrapped up his second season at Louisiana Tech. Of course, year one, 15-18. Year two, Talvin and his group went 22-10, finished second in the conference in the regular season. I'm really optimistic. Obviously, you don't want to lose in the way that you lost in the quarterfinals to Middle Tennessee of the conference tournament. We talked about that last week. We kind of aired it out a little bit, like get over the hump. And that's not towards Talvin. That's towards the entire program. Like, get over the hump. Get us back to the dance for the first time since 1991. But you look at some of the losses from the transfer portal or to the transfer portal to this point. Only two players that are in it. First player, Jalen Henderson. JUCO guard, spent one season at Louisiana Tech. Played in 29 out of 32 games. Averaged about 14 minutes a game. You might remember Henderson from early in the season where he made a really big impact for the Bulldogs. I think you remember that Colorado State game. He scored 16 points in 27 minutes. Followed that up with a career high of 24 points. Had 12 against ULM. Had 10 against Southern Utah. Then I think he had 12 points in a November game over Dillard. But really down the stretch, kind of struggled to find his spot in the rotation. A lot of that was probably due to the play of Talik Chavez, to the play of Jordan Crawford and Sean Newman, kind of both handling that point guard duties while playing next to each other at certain times. So I don't know if it's a huge surprise to see Jalen Henderson enter the transfer portal, but you know, you obviously have to replace a rotation piece like him as you enter into the offseason. The other name that's in the transfer portal is Jordan Turner. Turner came to Louisiana Tech from Baylor this past offseason. A guy that didn't see a whole lot of minutes at Baylor, didn't see a whole lot of minutes at Louisiana Tech, only played in 10 games, averaged about 6 minutes a game, was 3 of 8 from three-point range, but he'll obviously look in that transfer portal for his next destination. So who does Louisiana Tech lose from this roster other than Henderson, other than Turner? Obviously, Talik Chavez is the big loss. Third-team all-conference guy, shot 40% from three-point range. You do lose Drayvon Mangum, two-year guy, spent some time at Charlotte, spent some time at Radford, kind of a key rotational defensive specialist, rebounding type of player at 6'8". You lose Tyler Henry, was a nice add this past season from Southern Indiana, shot 32% from behind the three-point line. Had some big games. I remember that game against Western Kentucky that Tech won up in Bowling Green, 91-84. Henderson was phenomenal in that one, going 4 of 4 from the field. I think he had 11 points. So you know, you lose some of those leadership type guys. Those are the ones as a coach where, you know, you look at the stats on the surface, it's like, I don't know, you know, how easy those guys are to replace. You don't necessarily pay attention to them a whole lot from a fan perspective. Isaiah Crawford, Daniel Bacho, what's their status? We talked a little bit about this last week. I think both Crawford and Bacho will go through the NBA draft process. I believe that's kind of become the norm these days as far as don't sign with an agent, go through the process, see what kind of feedback you want, similar to what Kenneth Lofton did a couple years ago. If you like the feedback that you get, you stay in the draft, let the cards fall where they may, you move on with your career. If you're Louisiana Tech, obviously you want both of those guys back. Crawford was Conference USA Player of the Year, 16 points a game, 6 rebounds. I think he was the only player in the country with at least 60 steals and 50 blocks. So he would be a key piece to get back. And then, of course, I don't think that we could evaluate truly just how much Daniel Bacho meant to this roster from a defensive standpoint. Obviously averaged 15 points, 10 rebounds, over 2 blocks a game. But getting Crawford and Bacho back, you would obviously be picked towards the top of Conference USA, if not the top of Conference USA, looking ahead to 2024-2025. Offseason goals. You've signed 3 players to this point. Those 3 players include Al Green, a guard, kind of a two-guard type guy, JUCO kid out of California. You signed 2 freshmen. A.J. Bates is a combo guard out of the Houston area. And then you've signed Landron Blocker, a 6'6 slashing wing out of Little Rock, where he won 3 straight state championships at the 6A level in the state of Arkansas. So, on paper, really good recruiting class for Talvin and his staff. Transfer portal-wise, I think you got 1 spot open right now. Could potentially get 2 or 3, you know, just depending on what ends up happening with the remainder of the roster. I don't know that we've necessarily heard that yet. But I think the one key player that you have to replace is obviously Talik Chavez. And it's you got to replace the shooting that he brought you, because he was a tremendous shooter. He was the type of guy that could hit 6 or 7 threes in a game. And I think, you know, you go all the way back to, I believe it was a Wednesday night home game against Western Kentucky, in which the Hilltoppers got the best of the Bulldogs, 1 of 2 Tech home losses this season. And Chavez did not play in that game, and it became much more difficult for Isaiah Crawford and Daniel Bacho to operate in the paint, knowing that opponents could sag off of some of the perimeter shooting. So you got to replace that perimeter shooting with the hope that you can get a guy in here that can shoot 38% to 40% on decent volume, 5-6 threes a game. And I think you would feel really good about where Louisiana Tech is. I think that's your main priority, assuming that you don't lose Isaiah Crawford and Daniel Bacho. Now, if you lose 1 or 2 of those guys or both of those guys, obviously some of your priorities change in a significant amount. But I would imagine a guy like Devin Reed. Like, Devin Reed was a former top 100 guy, went to Louisville out of high school, Jackson, Mississippi native. He transfers to Louisiana Tech this past season, averages 7 points a game. Like, I think that you could see, 5 points a game. There were certain games throughout the year where, like, all right, like, that guy can be a 10 to 15 points per game guy as quickly as next year. So you have to assume that a guy like him is going to take his game to the next level. Sean Newman's comfortable. Maybe Terry Miller gets healthy, becomes more of a force inside. But you have to assume that you have to hope that Crawford and Bacho come back. And then you build around those two guys. You add a shooter to the mix. And it feels like you're right back in the conversation to win a conference tournament 3 games in 3 days, or maybe 3 games in 4 days if the conference tournament bracket shapes out the same way that it did this past season. So that's kind of where things stand. Lady Texter, Dunkin' Dogs basketball, 8 players between the 2 teams in the transfer portal, 6 for the Lady Texters, true for the Dunkin' Donuts. We'll keep tabs on it throughout the spring here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, or join us at the website, bleedtechblue.com. Of course, it's just $9.95 a month. So let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back, take a look into Conference USA Baseball. We'll take a little look into the national baseball scene as well across the collegiate game. A lot going on. Dallas Baptist is hot. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're part of a team. This is Smoke Harris with the Bulldogs. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Check out the Courtesy Automotive family with Courtesy Direct. Click it, pick it, then come get it from our floor to your door. That's Courtesy Direct at buycourtesy.com. Shop 24/7 online or at two lots filled with seven of the leading brands, Chevy, GMC, Buick, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Jeep. The Courtesy Automotive family off I-20, exit 86, north and south of the interstate in Ruston.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
It's bow time. There's only one thing you want after you just enjoyed a made-from-scratch buttermilk biscuit from Bojangles with juicy country ham, and that's another one. Well, here's some good news. Right now, for a limited time, you can come to Bojangles and get two country ham biscuits for just $5. That's not one, but two fluffy country ham buttermilk biscuits, made from scratch all day long with our 49-step recipe. It's time for cravings to meet savings. Order in the app or at Bojangles. It's bow time.
Wake up!
Did you know? Wake up and hear what you've been missing.
It's the Nick Brown Show. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on 97.7. Follow Nick on Twitter, Facebook, and listen online. Wake up!
Join us this Saturday.
It's the Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
We're back. BC John Tabor Sports Talk 97.7. We're talking some college baseball. Of course, Louisiana Tech, your Diamond Dogs, 17-6 overall through their first 23 games this season. But I want to take a look at Conference USA and some of the national rankings. It's kind of why we wanted to take Bleed Tech Blue Radio through college baseball season, just to not only look at Conference USA, but also look at things on a national scale as well. We'll start with Conference USA. In case you haven't noticed, I believe there's only 9 baseball-playing schools in Conference USA this year. 8 of them play football. When you talk about Sam Houston State, FIU, New Mexico State, Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State, and Liberty. But the 9th team is Dallas Baptist. The Dallas Baptist Patriots, in the latest D1 baseball top 25 poll, sits at number 15. They're, of course, the only Conference USA team that's in the top 25 currently. The Patriots are 17-3 overall. Had a very impressive midweek win over, I believe it was Oklahoma last night, 6-0 up in Norman. That comes after a 3-game sweep of Corpus Christi this past weekend. They also have a win over 11th-ranked Alabama earlier this year. Rob Vaughn's done a tremendous job with that Alabama program in year one. They've defeated Arizona. Of course, Louisiana Tech will head out to Tucson here in a few weeks. And they also defeated, like I mentioned, Oklahoma on the road last night. They defeated the Sooners earlier this year as well, 11-7. So I think right now Dallas Baptist hasn't started conference play, but they're probably your favorite within the league at 17-3 overall, just with some of their history under Dan Heifner and the job that he's done during his time in Dallas. I'm actually looking that up right now. just to give our listeners a good idea of how good this Dallas Baptist program has been. Dan Heifner has won 624 games as the head coach at Dallas Baptist. He's been the head coach since 2008. He's been to 12 regionals. He's been to 2 super regionals. It's only a matter of time before Dallas Baptist finds itself in Omaha competing for a national championship. Dallas Baptist will actually open their conference schedule this weekend on the road at Sam Houston State, which is where I wanted to go next. Sam Houston State, for me, obviously I'm a big Louisiana Tech fan, but Sam Houston State probably has a pretty firm grasp on the number 2 spot within the league. They're 15-7 overall. They started conference play this past weekend on the road at New Mexico State, where they won 2 out of 3. They've got a series victory over Oklahoma State. They got a series victory over Texas State, in which they swept that series down in San Marcos. So they're off to a really strong start. And that's a really good baseball program. I believe they went to a super regional out in Lubbock a couple years ago and faced off with Texas Tech. So I would say right now, if you're handicapping the conference race, Dallas Baptist, Sam Houston State are probably your 2 top teams. And, you know, the conference slate within Conference USA, I mentioned only 9 teams, so you're only going to play 8 series. Now, a year ago, you had to play your quote-unquote travel partner twice, which for Louisiana Tech was Dallas Baptist. I'm glad the conference has gone away from that with some of the additions to the league. That certainly helps a team like Louisiana Tech, but there's only 24 conference games, so we mentioned Tech will go out to Tucson to face off with Arizona here in a few weeks. Their opening weekend was this past weekend, or their open week, one of their 2 open weekends, was at home against Northwestern State. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But it does shape up a little bit differently. Looking at some other records within the league, mentioned Dallas Baptist 17-3, Sam Houston 15-7, Louisiana Tech sitting at 17-6. Some of the other records across the league aren't necessarily that impressive. FIU sits at 11-10. New Mexico State sits at 10-11. Western Kentucky's off to a solid start. The Hilltoppers are 15-7. They hold a series victory over Bradley. They also lost 2 out of 3 at home to West Virginia. That's a good home series get for the Hilltoppers. This past weekend, they won 2 out of 3 against Southeast Missouri State before defeating Southern Indiana on Tuesday night. Liberty sits at 8-12 overall. It's kind of interesting to me. I believe the Flames were picked to finish number 2 or number 3 in the conference. Now, I will say this. Liberty has played a strong, strong non-conference schedule. They were swept in Conway, South Carolina by Coastal Carolina. They're also swept by East Carolina as well. So those are 2 perennial top 25 teams that Liberty has challenged themselves. Back chimes in, Tapes. Rejuvenate text line. Can't put my finger on it, but something's missing on the show tonight. Well, I can tell you what's missing, not you, pal. Hope you're making it back here safely, and I hope you show up for the next show. Not going to tell you when it is. Have to show up every Tuesday and Thursday to kind of figure it out, big boy. Middle Tennessee sits at 9-10 overall. Jacksonville State is 9-11. Louisiana Tech will host Jacksonville State. Tobes, do you know who Jacksonville State's new head coach is on the diamond?
No idea.
Steve Beazer. Has Steve Beazer ever been on the Sports Company? Do you know? Yes or no?
Not that I know of.
I bet he has. Was the head coach at Southeast Missouri State when Louisiana Tech played them in the 2016 regional in Starkville. I bet Sean and Nick
really?
Got him on. Yeah. He had spent the previous 7 seasons at the University of Missouri, and that didn't go too well for old Beazer. So he's looking to revamp things, restart things at Jacksonville State. They're 9-11 overall. All right, let's take a look at the top 25 D1 baseball top 25. We'll run it down 25-1. Number 25, UC Santa Barbara. Number 24, UC Irvine. Number 23, the Auburn Tigers. I believe Louisiana Tech squared off with the Auburn Tigers in a fall game this past fall. Number 22, Greg Goff's former school, the Campbell Camels. Number 21, Mississippi State, fresh off a SEC opening series victory over LSU when they took 2 out of 3. Appreciate that, Mississippi State. Got the Tigers a little riled up for the Dogs on Tuesday night. Number 20, North Carolina out of the ACC. Number 19, Virginia Tech. Number 18, Kirk Sarlos' bunch at TCU. Number 17, Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner. Number 16, the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, which I believe Wake Forest, if I'm not mistaken, they were preseason number one in the country. If you look at some of their recent games, they've lost 4 out of 6. They did defeat High Point on Tuesday night, but they did lose a series at Virginia over the weekend, 2 out of 3. That was a wild series. Tapes. Have you seen the numbers on Chase Burns at Wake Forest?
What's he doing this year?
Okay. All right. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to look
up.
They
got him in the lab.
Oh, they got him in the lab, and I'm going to look up his stats. But his swing and miss rate and his swing rate on pitches out of the zone, like 20% better than what Paul Skeens put up last year at LSU. Like, and listen, long way to go, but like the numbers that he, and he's similar to Skeens in the fact that it's 99 to 102, it's elite slider. Changeup is probably a little bit of a work in progress, but he's putting up a whale of a season for the Demon Deacons. I found his, here we go. 30 innings pitched. He's allowed 16 hits, and he's punched out 56. That comes on the heels of a year at Tennessee last year where he's very good. 72 innings, struck out 114. But he's potentially putting together an all-time season for the Demon Deacons. Number 15, mentioned earlier, Dallas Baptist. Number 14, the Hoos of Virginia. Tapes, how do you think of Virginia in college baseball? Like, every year they end up in Omaha, it feels like.
I feel like it's a solid top 20 program.
Not a lot of fanfare in our neck of the woods, though.
They've got a couple championships.
They do. They sure do. Number 13, Coastal Carolina. I believe this will be Gary Gilmore's last season out in Conway. And he might, well, I don't know if he'll win a national championship, but he's certainly going out on the right foot. Number 12, the only undefeated team in America, the Florida State Seminoles, 19-0. What an impressive start. So impressive. Tuesday night, they got locked in a dandy with Stetson in the midweek. 7 pitchers combined for a 1-0 shutout over the Hatters. Number 11, mentioned Rob Vaughn earlier. Alabama's playing really well. They picked up an SEC opening series victory over Tennessee. Number 10, East Carolina. Is this the year, Tapes? East Carolina going to make it to Omaha?
Probably not.
No, I agree. Probably host a super and not win it. Number 9, they're not just a basketball school. They're a baseball school as well. The Duke Blue Devils. Number 8, Tennessee. Tony Vitello has put together another tremendous squad. Number 7, Texas A&M. Schlossnagel has done a good job since coming over from TCU. Number 6, the Florida Gators. Jack Caglione having another tremendous year for the Gators. They'll head down to Baton Rouge this weekend to take on 5th-ranked LSU. Really, you know, I know Florida won their series this past weekend over a previously undefeated Texas A&M team, but I think for both these teams, obviously they met in the National Championship Series last year. It's a big series for both these programs. Florida's going out on the road, kind of test themselves. They struggled in the midweek. They lost to Jacksonville last night. I saw a highlight. Jacksonville players jawing at the Florida dugout saying, "This is our field," which I found quite rich, but they had won. And then LSU, you lose your season opening series or your SEC opening series on the road in Starkville. I think you got LSU has Florida, Tennessee, or Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, and maybe Ole Miss over the next 4 weeks in SEC play, or Vanderbilt. So, obviously, you don't ever get a break in SEC play, but that should be a really good series this weekend down in Baton Rouge between LSU and Florida. And then rounding out the top four teams, Clemson at number four, Vanderbilt at number three, Oregon State, they continue to maintain their relevancy. I know they'll be leaving the Pac-12. I believe they're going independent in baseball starting next year, which they'll obviously be able to put together a really strong schedule, but you don't see too many independents in collegiate baseball. I'll be interested to see how that kind of works out for the Beavers. And then finally, at number one, Dave Van Horn's Arkansas Razorbacks off to a really strong start in 2024. So that's kind of our Conference USA and Top 25 breakdown. Let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back from the break. Diamond Dogs 17-6. Lady Tex, not Lady Tex, or Bulldog Softball 20-5. You listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Hey, Tech fans, coming in town to watch the Dogs play? We'll stay with the whole family at a fully furnished home in Ruston, Monroe, or one of our area Great Lakes. For more information, go to staywithsouthern.com. That is staywithsouthern.com. And Bleed Tech Blue listeners, listen up, because this offer is just for you. BTB listeners, use code BTB24. That's BTB24 for 10% off any and all stays. Again, staywithsouthern.com.
Ginn's Auto Body Ruston, North Louisiana's premier auto body service center on Industrial Drive in Ruston, where quality collision repair begins.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement therapy. Let us be your age-defying clinic.
You've heard about it? We've got it. Semaglutide, rejuvamemedical.com.
At Rejuvame, we specialize in medically monitored hormone replacement and weight loss therapy. It's time to begin your journey to a better you. Rejuvame Medical, now open in Monroe. RejuvameMedical.com.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
We're back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio BC. John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. You can get us on the Rejuvame hotline or text line. That number's 888-993-7762. Mentioned earlier, Louisiana Tech softball player Caroline Isom will join us at 7 o'clock. We also got Gonzaga and McNeese tipping off here in the studio. Brad Nessler on the call. I'm sure McNeese fans will be saying, oh, Brad Nessler is pulling for the Gonzaga. Well, like, sorry, nobody likes McNeese. Like, I know that's anti-Louisiana, but it is what it is. All right, let's talk some Tech baseball. Diamond Dogs. This past weekend, we were on last week. You had lost to ULL, Northwestern State in the midweek. Got all these people, oh, we're terrible. Like, we're just going to struggle. This team has no pitching. Whatever. Tech swept Northwestern State at home. It was good to see. Wasn't always the prettiest of baseball. At the end of the day, you won. 11-9 Friday night. Lane Burrows got tossed on perhaps the worst runner, runner interference call I've ever seen in my entire life. He, not going to say a coach should ever get tossed, but he should have got tossed. I think he would tell you the same thing. 7-5 win on Saturday. Cole McConnell with a two-run tank in the seventh to give the Dogs the lead. And, of course, kind of burnt the Demons a little bit. 15-5 on Sunday, a little 10-run rule. Was beautiful to watch. So, fast forward to Tuesday. I guess we're rewinding. You're traveling down to LSU. Mentioned earlier, LSU lost 2 out of 3 to Mississippi State. I got Beck texting me, should I bet the Tech money line? Got my buddy Lane texting me, oh, put it all in the dogs. Taves is betting the dogs. I'm like, Taves, what's the line? It's like 3.5. Like 3.5 runs in baseball. It's kind of steep, I must admit. It didn't go well. Point blank. Like, LSU got 5 runs in the first. Tacked on 2 more in the second. I think it was 7-1 in the second. 7-0. And game was kind of over from there. I thought, you look at a box score, oh man, you know, LSU 12, 13 hits. I think they hit 3 home runs. Oh, they just plastered you. Well, like, if you didn't watch the game, I could tell you that. If you're just scouting a box score, like, I know a lot of box score scouting types out there. Tech didn't play great defense. Probably walked too many on the mound. If you leave 86 in the middle of the plate to Hayden Travinsky, ball's probably going out the yard. If you leave 84 in the middle of the plate to Tommy White, see ya! Like, ball's going off the scoreboard, and that's kind of what happened. But I talked to Taves Wednesday morning. Taves was like, all right, flush it. Need a win tonight. Traveling to Nichols, be quite honest with you, I've never seen Nichols Baseball Stadium, and I didn't have time to look it up on Wednesday. Pretty nice diamond, obviously. Mike Silva, former Louisiana Tech pitching coach, head coach of the Colonels. Colonels went to a regional last year, played very well in that Tuscaloosa regional. They were off to a 17-6 start. Knew it was going to be a challenge. Come out the first inning, Nichols pitcher, can't remember his name, don't really care. Only faces 6 hitters because he wasn't very good. Dalton Davis got the dogs on the board early to take a 2-0 lead. Tech missed some opportunities in the second and third innings to drive in runs. You get in the third inning, I believe Grant Hubko is making the first start of his Tech career. You walk a guy, you give up an infield hit, they hit a double, they take a 3-2 lead. Be honest with you, if I was sitting there, I was like, all right, like, don't love trailing 3-2 on the road in an environment of like 147 people. But a good program. Tapes mentioned earlier, like, Nichols had some arms. Like, they truly did. I was worried. You get into the 7th inning of the game. Ethan Bates hits an opposite field double to tie the game. Dalton Davis scored from first. Adarius Myers followed later in the frame with, I believe, his 2nd of 3 infield hits on the night to score Bates, score Bates to make it 4-3 Tech. It's like, all right, you up 4-3 in the 7th. It's Broderson and Bates time. Like, it's the killer bees. Like, here they come. Broderson enters in the 7th. Really good inning. Logan McLeod makes a great play at third base to end the frame. 8th inning, walk the leadoff hitter. Here comes Bates. Bates does what Bates does. He's one of the best closers in the country. Oh, yeah, he's one of the best DHs in the country as well. And 4-3 going to the 9th. 9th inning, Will Safford's in the game as a defensive replacement. He comes up 1-0 count. That's a country tater to right. And when I tell you it's a country tater to right, there ain't no video board down in Thibodeau on the Nichols State scoreboard. Ball cleared it by about 35 feet. Taves, did you watch the game at all on ESPN Plus?
I had it going.
Okay, did you listen to the broadcaster?
Not really. I wasn't paying him any attention.
Probably my favorite broadcaster Tex had all year. Like, it'd be like, oh! Deep to right! Ball's gone! Like, it would change his voice. Like, from normal. Like, he could get amped. It was a great broadcast. Shout out to the Colonels for that one. Bottom of the 9th inning, Colonels get one back. Ultimately fall. Bates picks up his 6th save of the game. Louisiana Tech's in the win column. They're 17-6. Mentioned Dalton Davis drove in 2 runs. Bates drove in a run with a double. Also earned his 6th save with 2 innings of relief work. Reed Smith earned a victory, his first win of the year in relief, ending in a 3rd scoreless relief. Tech's bullpen of Connor Nation, Reed Smith, Sam Broderson, and Ethan Bates combined to strike out 7 in 6 2/3 innings of work, only allowing one earned run. To mention that Darius Myers had four hits. Will Safford went country tater to right. And the Dawgs are ready for conference play this weekend. Jacksonville State comes in for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday matchup at the Love Shack. I believe it's a 6 p.m. first pitch on Friday night, 2 p.m. first pitch on Saturday. And the series finale is set for 1 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. Jacksonville State comes in at 9-11 overall. I mentioned Steve Beazer in his first year as the head coach of the Gamecocks. You look at the numbers, they hit .241 as a team. Scoring around 6 runs a game, I think the team ERA is up around 7. You never say that you want to or you should sweep a series, but you'd love to sweep a series, especially to open conference play. For Louisiana Tech, obviously, Ethan Bates, Dalton Davis, Colt McConnell, they've been leading the charge offensively. I believe the duo has combined for nearly 90, or actually, right at 90 RBIs. Pretty special in 65 games combined. 90 RBIs in 65 games. Like, that's some Ken Griffey Jr., 1999, Nintendo 64 type gaudiness. Like, they've also hit 14 tanks. They've also hit 26 doubles. George Corona started to heat up at the plate. He's hitting .321. Also threw out a base stealer last night. Also had an infield hit. Kasten Furr. Taves, we had Kasten Furr on right before baseball season started. Obviously spent 4 years at UNO before coming up to Louisiana Tech. Lane Burroughs mentioned that Kasten Furr was a Taylor Young type, and I'm like, all right, Lane, like, all right, like, cool. Like, he ain't far off. .487 on base percentage from the leadoff spot, leads the country in runs scored with 36. He's kind of the gasoline that you pour on it to start the fire. Kasten Furr's been tremendous. On the mound, Luke Nichols scheduled to get the start on Friday night. We'll see what Louisiana Tech does on Saturday. Jacob Havern got his first weekend start of his career last Saturday against the Demons. Didn't go well. I'm not saying that Havern shouldn't start this weekend, but hasn't officially been announced. And I imagine Turner Swistak will get the ball on Sunday. He was tremendous against Northwestern State this past weekend. He's 3-0 on the year. I still think for the Tech baseball team, 17-6, plenty to play for. I think it's too early to say, hey, RPI is not going to be there. Got to win the conference tournament. Listen, keep winning baseball games. Like, just win. Like, that stuff will take care of itself. Like, you can't tell me that if you win 41 games in the regular season and you win 3 more in the conference tournament, that 44 wins would be left out. I don't see it. Now, can you win 35 in the regular season and still get in? Probably not. But that's just kind of where I stand. Like, keep winning baseball games. I think the pitching staff has to continue to be better. You know, I thought the last 2 games against Northwestern State and the game last night against Nichols was pretty good. But obviously, you got to do it consistently on the weekends. And I think a big key to that will be continuing to push forward, try to get some solid starts out of Nichols, out of, you know, maybe a Connor Nation gets a start. Maybe a Grant Hubka gets another weekend start. Maybe Reed Smith gets a chance at another point down the line. I think starting pitching, while we talk about 6 or 7 innings, the goal's got to be 4 or 5, maybe into the 6th inning, and you'll be in a really good spot with the bullpen that Lane Burroughs and Cooper Fouts has put together. Real quick, Tech softball. Mentioned earlier, softball team 20-5 overall. Huge win last night over ULL. First win over the Cajuns since 1998. That was a 5-3 win out at Dr. Billy Bundrick Field. Let me see what the old... hold on real quick. Let me see what they said the attendance was for that puppy. 798. Nice crowd out at Billy Bundrick Field. Lauren Menzina earns her second win of the year. Brooke Melanchuk closes her down for her second save of the year. Dawgs' 20th win. They'll host Western Kentucky this weekend. Another 5-1 team in Conference USA. Really... if you look at it through 2 weekends, the 2 best teams in the conference. I mentioned earlier in the show, RPI down under 40, like doing a really good job is Josh Taylor and his staff. And listen, this is a Texas softball team. Like, they ain't beating cream puffs, guys. Like, they beat McNeese. They beat Illinois. They beat San Diego State. These are some super regional type teams from a season ago. And that ULL team last night, yep, they ended Oklahoma's 71-game win streak earlier this year. Yep, just ended it. So, really good win for Josh Taylor and his team. So, let's go ahead, Terry, next time out. We come back. Lady Dexter softball player Caroline Easton will join us on the Rejuve Me hotline. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're part of a team. This is Smoke Harris with the Bulldogs. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's uncommon bankers or visit online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Every day is game day at the dugout in Ruston. Warm up with our bases loaded nachos and fried pickles. Make the call to the bullpen for that home run chili cheeseburger combo. And our chicken wings and chicken strips, well, they'll make you feel like an all-star. And you have to try our new Texas tacos. Plus, the dugout has the best frozen daiquiris in town. That's the dugout, 2008 Champions Way in Ruston at the Ruston Sports Complex.
Bulldog fans, it is now time to renew your 2024 Louisiana Tech football season tickets. For the second consecutive season, you will enjoy a six-game home schedule this fall at Joe Ia Stadium. That all kicks off August 31st against Nicholls State. With so much progress being made in and around the Joe, we are fired up about the season ahead, but we cannot do it alone. We need you, Bulldog faithful, here each week, ready to cheer on the Dogs to compete to make Joe Ia Stadium the toughest place to play in Conference USA. Previous ticket holders can renew their seats starting right now, and be on the lookout for information about new sales coming soon. We can't wait to see you in the Joe this fall beginning August 31st. Visit LaTexSports.com/tickets or call the LaTex ticket office at 318-257-3631 to renew your seats today. We will see you there at the Joe. Go Dogs!
So much of our lives are online today that it's hard to know if we're being scammed. Keep your online information secure with simple steps you can take today. To learn more, go to CISA at CISA.gov/secureourworld.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it! Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. BC, Beck, not Beck Haynes, John Tabor, Sports Talk 97.7. Let's jump to the Rejuve Me hotline, where we're joined by Louisiana Tech softball player Caroline Easom. Caroline, thanks for taking some time to join us tonight.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, I want to go back. Obviously, you played your high school softball at Airline. I went to Bird. I know we were, our schools were probably rivals back in the day. But for you, was Louisiana Tech always the school that you wanted to play softball at, or did you have some other interests coming out of high school?
Well, honestly, I didn't really have the, I guess you would say, traditional route here. Throughout high school, I was actually committed to the University of Houston up until my senior year. And during my senior year, I kind of had a change in heart. I wanted to be closer to home and have my family be able to come watch me every game. And so thankfully, I had Katie Smith, who played here previous years prior, and she kind of helped me get to La Tech. So.
Oh, I like it. I like it. All right. Yep. Local product is tough to stay home. All right, so you go through your freshman year. Obviously, Bianca Duran was the head coach that year, the interim head coach, whatever you want to call it. She moves on. 2022, Josh Taylor comes in for his first season from the University of Nevada. What's the transition like? Obviously, you know, it's different. It's a new coach. It's probably someone that you weren't familiar with. What was that transition like for you?
You know, honestly, at first it was a little overwhelming, to be quite honest with you. I mean, there was just a lot of stuff, I guess, thrown at us in a good way. Stuff that, you know, I hadn't really learned before. But yeah, I mean, my first year with him, I mean, he taught us a lot. I think I've learned way more in my first year than I ever did, you know, previous years prior. So yeah, just a lot, but at the same time, it was great.
We ask athletes this all the time, and I'm sure it's no different for you, but how long does that take to trust a new coach?
At first, I mean, you know, not knowing who he was and, you know, being from up north and, you know, not, you know, being around the South a lot, you know, it was kind of a little scary at first. But, I mean, you knew right on the first day that he was there completely for us. I mean, you see coaches all the time, you know, come in and, you know, clean house, so to say. And, you know, he came and picked us. And he made that clear from day one. And he's done nothing but be there for us. And, you know, we put our all of our trust in him. So.
All right, let's get into this year. Obviously, you guys 20-5 overall at this point. Last season, mm-hmm. you won 32 games. I would imagine, obviously, it's a good year, but I think the expectations were probably higher than that. How do you think last year kind of impacted the start that you guys have got off to so far?
You know, last year, I think just from the year before, you know, no one expected us in 22 to even, you know, mm-hmm. be at the top of the conference, right? And so the year after, we just put way too high of expectations on ourselves, and, you know, we just played tight all year. We didn't have fun. We know we didn't play loose. And so for this year, you know, the message is really just to keep it simple. Just go out, play loose, and play and have fun.
Coach Taylor's mentioned a lot about this team, the depth that you guys have, particularly offensively. We'll talk about the pitching in a second. But having so many different players that can play in so many different roles, how important has that been for not only for you but for the team as well?
I mean, it's really, really important. I mean, I think this is the first time out of all my 4 years where, you know, you can really put anybody anywhere and you know, they'll you know, exceed, right? And so it just plays a big part. You know, if somebody's struggling, you can easily, you know, put somebody in and they'll fill that role for the day. And so I think that's a big part of our success this year as well.
Yourself, you've been around for 4 years now. Callie Neal's been around. Brooke Diaz has been around. Caitlin mm-hmm. Cooper. When you add transfers, Gilio's been really good. Rayleigh's been really good. What's that like? Obviously, I would imagine you guys are friends, but what's that like, their first few days, few weeks on campus, just kind of getting them integrated with how you guys do things?
Right. Yeah, first, you know, you just kind of wonder, you know, how are they going to, you know, mesh with the team? You know, are they going to be, you know, selfish? You know, or you can ask the question, why did they leave in the first place? You know, kind of thing. But no, I mean, they've meshed really well. I think Coach Taylor does a really good job at making sure, you know, that they're a good fit, you know, before, you know, he brings them on. But they've been extremely, extremely helpful for this year.
Looking at the pitching staff, the team ERA way down at 1.76. Brooke Melanchuk, Allie Floyd, Lauren Menzina. I know Madison Buster started to see some more time as well. I think the thing that jumps off to me, that jumps off the page, the pitchers have only walked 36 hitters in 171 innings. How much fun is that for you to play defense, just knowing that they're going to force the action?
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely fun playing behind them. You know, Coach Chelsea does a really good job with them. I think, you know, the limit of walks is what they really try to focus on. And so I think they do a really good job of that. And especially with playing behind Lauren Menzina with her drop balls, I mean, you get so many ground balls with her. I mean, it was really, really fun. It was really fun last night, too.
Yeah, I want to talk about last night. Obviously, you win 5-3 over ULL. First win for the program over the Cajuns since, I believe, 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a huge win. But talk a little bit not only about the win and some of the play of your teammates, but the crowd as well. I saw it was a really good crowd out at Billy Bundrick Field.
Absolutely. I think that's the best crowd we've had this season for sure. I mean, it was pretty electric. I mean, the whole time. Really, really fun atmosphere to play in.
Last question, we'll let you get out of here. 5-1 in conference play. You take 2 out of 3 this past weekend against Middle Tennessee, that was on the road. You won a home series against Sam Houston. Western Kentucky comes to town through two weekends, the top two teams in the conference. What must you guys do to be successful?
Just keep it simple. Play loose, play free, have quality at-bats, every at-bat, and pitch, and play defense.
Well, good stuff, Caroline. We appreciate you joining us, and looking forward to continuing following you guys throughout the remainder of the regular season into the postseason.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Caroline Easom, Louisiana Tech softball second baseman. Caroline having a tremendous individual season, hitting .382. We've mentioned many times before, and we've talked with Josh Taylor about it as well. A really unselfish team, a team that not only had expectations for themselves last year, but have expectations coming into this year, and they're certainly performing at a high level, Tate. So let's go ahead and take our final timeout of the night. When we come back, we'll put a bow on it. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Hey, DQ fans, every day is a lucky day with a mint brownie blizzard treat. With a refreshing blend of brownie pieces, choco chunks, and cool mint, this treat will put you in the springtime spirit. Pretty sure that DQ treats made March my favorite month with the mint brownie blizzard treat. So follow the rainbow to your nearest DQ location to get yours before they're all gone. Only at participating DQ locations. DQ, we're happy. It tastes good.
Oh, courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family, where you'll find seven of the leading brands, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Two pre-owned lots, local qualified service departments you can rely on. You can shop 24/7 online at buycourtesy.com for all seven brands plus pre-owns. Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family, Ruston.
GBC Life Services has been a leader in disability and behavioral health services in North Louisiana since 1962. Our mission is to provide compassionate, individualized, long-term care supports and services to help those living with developmental and mental health challenges to thrive in life. Our services include supported independent living, community home living, primary medical, and acute and outpatient behavioral health services. For more information, call 318-397-6680. Find us online, gbc.la. GBC, serving you is what we do.
At Louisiana National Bank, you're more than just a number. You're a part of a team. This is Anna R. Robertson with the Lady Texters. Louisiana National Bank is committed to making every interaction with its customers and communities an experience that's noticeably different and more exceptional than any they've ever encountered. If you're looking for a teammate to help you achieve your financial dreams, come see one of LNB's Uncommon Bankers or visit online at ln.bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Want to find stuff out about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
BC John Tabor here to wrap it up on a Thursday night. Appreciate you listening. Of course, if you want to catch us on that Rejuve Me hotline or text line before we get out of here, you can get us 888-993-7762. Important to point out, Tabes, I'm about to crush your spirit right here. Our next Bleed Tech Blue radio show will not be until April the 9th.
What?
So it's a while. We might try to fit in a Thursday show at some point, but that's the plan right now. I know it's a wide gap. I know it's unfortunate. I know it's demoralizing. I know you love listening to us, but that's the plan right now. So we'll try to put something together, see if we can get on the air a little quicker. Here's the thing. It's either March 28th, which is next week, and then you obviously have, hold on a sec, let me pull up my calendar. You got March 28th, then you either got April the 4th, which is a Thursday, but we're already going on April the 9th. You kind of see what I'm saying? So, like, that'd be a quick kind of turnaround. But who knows? Listen, we're entertaining.
Oh, yeah, we'll call it in the ring.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll get it figured out. Just stay tuned to us. Keep us in line. Want to get to this before we get out of here. Get you a couple NCAA tournament scores here. Don't think Colorado State has scored the entire game. Doesn't look like it, at least. Texas leads Colorado State 35-24, 13 minutes to go. And that one,
that's still competitive, though.
It is. No, they've gotten back in the game.
Unlike Virginia, they've gotten themselves at least back in the ball game.
I couldn't watch Virginia for nothing
horrible.
The other night.
It was horrible.
All right, who's worse, Virginia basketball offense or Iowa's football offense?
I'm going to say Iowa because there have been points in time where Virginia's offense was good.
Been
when
good.
They had guys
they had
like
Trey Murphy.
Trey Murphy, and, yeah.
Where'd Trey Murphy play college ball before he went to Virginia?
Did not.
Rice.
Really?
Really. He sure did. Oakland leads Kentucky 38-35. How about the 14th-seeded Oakland? Bet John Calipari's about to pull all that gel out of his hair. Iowa State leads South Dakota State 31-24. Gonzaga leads McNeese 25-17, a little over halfway through the first half. And that one, games later tonight, we got St. Peter's back for their encore against Tennessee. It ain't happening.
They cost me some money last, whatever the year. Was it last year that they made the run?
I thought it might have.
Was it 2 years ago? I don't know. Whatever year it was, they...
Oh, so you're out on St. Peter's.
Yeah.
Oh, figures. Let's see some other games tonight. NC State, Texas Tech should be a good one. Samford, upset
special.
That's
the one I'm looking forward to.
Samford and Kansas, a little upset special. And then final game of the night, 9:05 on True TV. Don't know if I'm going to stay up for Drake and Washington State. It's a really good – James, I know you'll be up. I know you'll be up. Drake's a really good program. Washington State's had a marvelous year. Did you see this? So you know how you earn the units?
Correct.
For every round that you advance. Every unit earned by the Pac-12 this year goes to Oregon State and Washington State.
Really?
Yep. They got a chance to make some cash.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, Arizona's got a chance to go to the Final Four. Oregon obviously won today. Bronny James ain't in the tournament. Oh, Bronny.
Colorado's still playing tomorrow.
Colorado's still kicking in that 10-7 game against Florida. You know what? Florida's sneaky to me. Like, I'm talking Final Four sneaky. Great guard play.
I got them in the Sweet 16, but I...
You got them beating Tennessee?
No.
Okay. You got them in the round of 32. Great guard play. Great coach, too. Oakland up on Kentucky at the half. Oh, man. All right, what we got coming up in Louisiana Tech Athletics this week? Let's see. We mentioned earlier with Carolina Eastham, Tech softball at home against Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. All three games of that series will be on ESPN+. We got a 6 o'clock first pitch on Friday night. We got a 2 o'clock pitch on Saturday. And then 1 o'clock on Sunday, baseball. Lane Burroughs and the boys will open conference play against Jacksonville State. The Gamecocks, that's a 6 o'clock first pitch Friday, 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. I know there was a chance of rain tomorrow. I believe the rain's going to get out of here, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully we don't have a game time switch. I ain't about a doubleheader. Do you like doubleheaders at the yard?
I enjoy them.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm a single game kind of guy, Tapes. Let me just tell you, and I'm not being all holy grail here, as a player, two games in one day is one whale of a day. Like, I just can't do it. But hopefully Lane Burroughs and his boys get off to a really strong start. Also hope that Lady Texters, of course, if your kids are in the kids club, they can run the bases on Sunday after the game. Also think I saw that Tech baseball has given away Dave Knitt's koozies throughout the weekend. Let's jump real quickly before we get out of here to the Rejuvenate Hotline. We got Bill. Bill, what you got for us?
BC, what's happening? Did I read correctly yesterday on your page that the media is going to only be allowed to cover Tech spring football in 4 days? Is that correct information?
That is correct.
I don't really understand that. That's pretty sad. You know, in the media, it's really Bleed Tech Brew, correct?
Yes, sir. Matt Bellinson does a good job with the Ruston Daily Leader as well.
Okay. 4 days, I guess you'll I guess you'll pick them and you'll post what you can get. But I appreciate all your help. I hope things get straightened out over there.
Thanks, Bill. Have a good one.
Thank you, BC.
Yep. Louisiana Tech starts spring practice on Monday. So, been a fun show tonight. I want to thank all of our listeners out there. I want to thank Caroline Easom from the Louisiana Tech softball team for joining us. For John Taylor, I'm BC. Thanks for listening. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7. Brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, Dairy Queen, and Bienville Motors. Join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. with your host Ben Carlisle on the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7.
State legendary Hall of Fame head coach, national champion, one of the six Final Fours. He had this to say about how he would improve the NCAA tournament.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has hinted recently pretty strongly about the idea of maybe more opportunities for power league teams, possibly at the expense of the one bid leagues. What do you think about that? And I guess in general, just about football's potential impact.